Well, it seems that every Christmas, a new kind of dimension of Christmas becomes very real to me. And I was reflecting a lot this Christmas about why it is that when God chose to become one of us, he did so as a baby. As Titus said in our second reading, in Jesus, in this beautiful moment that happened, grace became visible to us in Christ. And it happened in and through this beautiful baby. And why should God come to us as a baby? It seems illogical to our human minds, doesn't it? Wouldn't you expect that the all-powerful, almighty God would come as some great king, perhaps as Batman or Superman or some G.I. Joe or something, or some Mutant Ninja Turtle or something? We would expect that this all-powerful God would come in some crazy form. But he chose to come as a baby. I was thinking about why that might be. I think, first of all, so as not to scare us. You know, nobody's afraid of a baby. Well, I say that, but I just came back from doing Christmas with my nieces and nephews. I have a brand new nephew who was born on my birthday, a miracle in and of itself. And so only about 2 weeks old. And I'm afraid of him when he, every time I hold him, he poops. And or throws up or something. And I'm like, you know, I hold him for about 2 seconds and all the hell breaks loose, you know. But anyway, but other than that, we're not really afraid of babies. You know, we would be afraid of other human beings. We're afraid of even strangers who are innocent enough looking. Sometimes we can be rather afraid of them. Middle school gentlemen are often afraid to talk to the girls they like. We're afraid of people. But not babies. Usually we're not afraid of them. They're very innocent. I think that's one reason. There's a story told of a group of birds, and there was a horrible blizzard that happened on this farm, and there was the farmer, and the power goes out, and the winds are just crazy, and this group of birds, you know, is not able to escape, seemingly. And so he opens up his barn door in the hopes of, like, I have a huge barn. If only the birds would come in here, they would be safe. But the birds were afraid of him. Right? Because he's a human being and they're birds. And so the farmer thinks, would that I could look like a bird. And then I could tell them that they could trust me because I would be one of them. Well, Jesus came, God came, not just looking like us, but one of us, and at the same time fully God, so that we would trust him and find refuge where he guides us. That's one reason. So that we're not afraid of God. That's why he should come as a baby. A second thought, maybe, was that because babies need to be cared for. They can't take care of themselves, of course. They need somebody to feed them, somebody to clean them, somebody to hold them, somebody to put them to do this, and the other thing. They're completely useless on their own. A baby needs care, and God needs care. Jesus needs care. My spiritual director, Father Joe Moriarty, maybe you know him, one of the holiest priests I know, and he told the story of how he was at his parish several years ago, and they had this outdoor nativity set, but not nearly as cool as ours, of course. And there was Jesus, and it was this really cold day, and this little schoolgirl had her, you know, sweater and her coat and all this other stuff on and a scarf, and she took her scarf off and put the scarf on top of the statue of Jesus, this baby Jesus in the outdoor nativity set. And Father Joe looked at that and he said, I asked her what she was doing, and she said, well, he must be cold. Isn't that beautiful? Jesus needs to be cared for. That's why he should come as a baby. We take care of Jesus every time we take care of his body, the church. Every time we take care of him inside of, we know that Jesus is within everybody, right? And so every time we take care of somebody else, we're ultimately taking care of Jesus. And that is a happy thing to do. And so just the same way that that a mother takes care of her baby. And so maybe that's the second reason that God should become a baby, is that it's a reminder that we better take care of him. The third thing is that everybody loves babies. You know, it's funny because, you know, James and Angelica had a baby not that long ago. James is the director of the Hispanic ministry here. And they had this beautiful little girl named Monica, and she's about a month old now. But one thing that I just loved was that we have all these parties and things downstairs, and the room is filled with people. And as soon as was possible, about 2 weeks after that baby was born, there was Monica downstairs, and she went on a tour of everybody's arms in that whole basement. She was probably held by 200 different people in the course of an afternoon. Everybody loves babies. And maybe that's another reason Jesus came as a baby, so that we would love him. So that we would love him. And we need to be creative with the Holy Spirit, knowing how it is that we are to love him. Practically and concretely, how do I love my God? Because love has got to be concrete, else it isn't real. People say, oh, I love God, but I never pray. I don't go to church, don't do this. Well, then the love is not really there. Love has to be concrete, else it isn't real. And so God comes to us as a baby in order that we might love him more easily and more naturally. The baby statues of Jesus that we have in our nativity sets, almost all of them, the arms of Jesus are opened wide, which I always think is beautiful, because the Lord wants nothing more than to embrace us and for us to embrace him. And we do that with the sacraments, we do that with prayer, we do that in so many different ways with scripture, and taking our lives of faith seriously, we hold on to Jesus and we love him in those places. Well, there's probably a lot of other reasons that God should become a baby, but those are just some of the thoughts that come to my mind this evening. We heard in our gospel today about the story of Bethlehem and how all of these people flock over to this baby. It's almost as though there were something irresistible about him, that even the animals should flock there. But of course, the animals, you know, Bethlehem, the word Bethlehem means house of bread. So Jesus was born in the city called the house of bread, Bethlehem. And in the stable, every time we look at the stable, we should think of the church, because inside is the manger. The manger is the thing of hay, where the food, which was the food for the animals. And so no wonder, except it's a huge wonder, that Jesus was born in the manger, in the place of food, in order that you and I might feed upon him. And I tell you this as I remember all the time. Jesus rests on our altars as surely as he laid in Bethlehem. And he wants to be embraced and loved and cherished there and consumed there. And that's a high, high miracle, isn't it? And so whenever we go to Mass, we go to Bethlehem. We go to the house of bread. The bread of life, which is Jesus. When we go to Mass, we go to Bethlehem, and we receive him from the manger, from that place of food, and there we receive our life and our light. And then there's no more gloom, because we have the light within us. I just wanted to let you know, I told some people there'd be a little bit of a surprise tonight, and I'm pretty excited about it, because we're going to do the liturgy of the Eucharist on the old altar today, because it is on that altar, of course, where the majority of, it's funny, you know, this parish has a long history, and that altar has been the place of consecration more often than this one has, And but there's a beautiful option given to priests to do Mass, and it's called ad orientem, and ad deum is another title for it. And the Cardinal Sarah, he's the cardinal in charge of the liturgy over in Rome. He was appointed by Pope Francis, and in July of 2016, he wrote to all the priests saying that it's a good idea to do it sometimes. Because we all go in the same direction. We walk together to Bethlehem. And I had grown up, I never had seen this done. And then I did, and it had a profound effect on me. And of course, some of you maybe grew up with it, so it might be a little bit of nostalgia for you tonight, a Christmas gift in that way. But we all go in the same direction towards God, towards Bethlehem. And so I look forward to this second part of the Mass, and together we go to the babe. We go to receive him who is our life, who is our bread, who is our everything. And he is the perfect Christmas gift for us. I had all the kids up here at 4 o'clock Mass, and I told them, I said, look, the best gift we can give to Jesus back is, I said, put your hand on your heart and close your fist. And then I had the baby Jesus, and I said, now throw your heart at Jesus. That's the best gift, my friends, that we could ever give to our Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.